Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio on AM 820 and online at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, your host. As a Catholic therapist and a mother of four, I'm quite aware that when parents send a child off to college, the transition is often accompanied by a mix of emotions and anxieties for both the parents and the child. Will they fit in, do well, take good care of themselves? Will they keep their faith or lose it? Will they choose the path that will lead them to true joy and fulfillment in life? These are just a few of the questions that Catholic parents often ask themselves. There's just so much at stake, and at least as the Catholic parent and the child may see it, the faithful Catholic parent and child may see it, especially, I should add. So on today's show, we're going to discuss these issues with someone who does spiritual direction with college students. Sister Carrie Ann McCowan of the Franciscan TOR of Penance, the Franciscan Sisters TOR of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother from Steubenville is here with us. I'd like to welcome you, Sister.
Hello, thank you very much.
It's so great. Actually, your mother house is in Toronto, Ohio, which is about how far from Steubenville?
Probably just about 8 miles down
the
road.
Oh, that's all. Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought maybe it was even a little further. For some reason, I was thinking it was about 20. But so I think, tell us a little bit about your order. I know we recently had Sister Mary Rose Bratlin on, so we got a little bit of a history behind maybe some special things about your mission and charisms and things that tell us more about the work that you do. And then I'd also like to have you tell us a little bit about your story. I think you have a very unique story, and our topic today about sending your children off to college is kind of ties pretty uniquely in with your vocation story as well. So
yes,
let's start with that.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds great. So we're the Franciscan Sisters, TOR of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother. And our mother house is in Toronto, Ohio. And we have Father Mercy Chapel there. And which is such a gift to us because really our part of our charism is sharing God's mercy, you know, God's merciful love with others. Mm-hmm. And I think people really experience that when they visit us as well. You know, they feel touched by it when they enter into the chapel and they see the wood relief of our crucified Lord and Our Lady at the foot of the cross, which is a huge charism for us, you know, to be with Our Lady at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of my work, I actually live in Assisi Heights, which is, actually with the students on the campus. So a lot of the seniors and master students live up in that area. And our house there is called Santa Chiara House, and we have four sisters in that house. And the four sisters work in various different areas on campus. So I'm working with spiritual direction. We have one sister who works with households, and so that's just like helping household coordinators to really develop leadership skills and stuff. And then we have also women's ministry. So we have Sister Anna Rose who works in women's ministry. And so she puts on retreats such as Capture My Heart. And so she leads a group of women in being able to put this on retreat on for them. Mm-hmm. Then we have another sister who works with the music ministry, Sister Sarah Rose, and she works with the festivals of praise that are on campus and really helps to guide students in helping to develop them within their own leadership skills with the gifts that the Lord has given to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the sisters then who are back at the mother house, do they pretty much more stay back there, or they're out in the community as well as much as you are, or how is it different between what you do and what they do?
Yes, so the sisters at the mother house, they do have ministries outside of the mother house, but they have more time within the mother house doing works such as we sell religious articles, we do altar bread for churches, And then so there's the in-house, there's the basic cleaning, cooking, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But there are sisters who do periodic ministry on the university campus and then also a nursing home.
Okay. So, oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to know that base is covered as
yes.
well, because the elderly, it's just a whole other population, obviously, so far different from college students, but not one that certainly anyone wants to forget about. You know,
right.
they really have their mm-hmm. spiritual needs in a special way. So tell us your story, your vocation story. You went to college as a, you know, mm-hmm. an ordinary young woman going off to college, maybe not quite so ordinary because you were in business, I believe, and pursued a degree in business, but all along maybe was not quite so sure that was what you were really being called to.
Right, right.
Okay.
So when I started college, I didn't know what I wanted to major in. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt I was kind of like, I don't know, you could say kind of lost, you know, like what does the Lord want with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up majoring in business because I was like, well, this is, you know, a direction that I can go in. I know I can get a job. And so, but it wasn't something that was really in my heart, something mm-hmm. that I really wanted to do. And I had actually never thought of religious life. You know, I grew up in the South, in Lynchburg, Virginia. And so there weren't religious sisters around, and it just wasn't something that really crossed my mind. It was more, oh, you grow up, you get married, you have children, and mm-hmm. and this is how life goes exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was my last semester of my senior year where I realized, I was like, you know, I really don't want to go into this area. I feel like the Lord has so much more for me, but I didn't know or understand what that more meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I had graduated from college, I took a month off and I went to Ireland. And it was really a time of soul searching for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had found that during that time, the Lord had really done something within my heart. And when I came back to the States, I was like, I feel like I want to live more simply. I didn't know if he was calling me to missionary work. So I really started increasing my prayer life. I started going to daily mass. I was talking a little bit with our deacon in our parish and just kind of bouncing some things off of him and just for some guidance and some direction.
Mm-hmm.
I did end up getting a job at S&K Menswear, which I had worked at for 2 years as an assistant manager there, selling men's suits. And so, but I really wasn't happy during mm-hmm. that time. And I think that was the time where it was very difficult for my parents because my parents they didn't understand, well, what are you doing with your life? Where are
sure.
you going? What direction are you going in? And I was like, I don't really know. And I felt that the Lord was calling me to wait. I didn't know what that waiting really meant, so it was hard for me to describe. And I find that when I work with the college students on campus, they kind of go through that same grappling as well. Like it's the grappling of trying to understand who you are in Christ, who are you supposed to be in this world? What is my identity? And so it can be a time of real struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like encourage parents to really support their children in this time, even if they don't understand the direction that their parents are going or that they are going in, because it can be frustrating for parents. You know, what are you doing?
Sure.
Where are you going? How
sure.
are you
going
to support yourself? But I think it's important to support them in that time of grappling and discerning.
Which I think, I mean, as a parent of college-age students and things, you know, it becomes difficult when you see mm-hmm. like, oh, come on, you know, gosh, mm-hmm. especially if they've forked over some cash for that education.
Yes.
You know, they kind of like to see a little bit of action on the other side of that.
Yes.
And so it is interesting and a point that you make to be patient and to work with them and to understand that maybe God is doing something else in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the other side of that is maybe they're slacking too. You
right,
know, and you
right.
how do you balance
human
that?
Human nature.
Yes, exactly. So I'm speaking with Sister Carrie Ann McCowan. She is a sister from, you have to help me with this. I always have mm-hmm. to look back to get the whole sister, Franciscan Sister T-O-R
of Penance.
Penance
of the Sorrowful Mother.
Of the Sorrowful Mother. Mm-hmm. When it gets kind of long there, I get stumbled on.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, it's great to have you with us. And so when you see college-age students, when they make an appointment with you or say, sister, I need to come talk with you, they obviously have at that point a pretty good relationship with Christ. I would think that if they came to a sister for spiritual direction, mm-hmm. They're struggling. They may want to know, what's God's plan for my life? Help mm-hmm. me figure this out. Do you ever have students that come to you that, like, maybe one of their friends has said, you know, go see Sister Carrie Ann, mm-hmm. and they really don't have the faith? Or do
yes.
you ever? You do
yeah.
see that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
an interesting thing.
Yeah.
So what brings them to you? And the reason I ask this question is because there may be a lot of parents who are concerned about their children. They think, okay, I'm sending them to the University of Steubenville with mm-hmm. the hopes that, you know, you have good Catholic grounding there.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I know well enough that all of the students that go there maybe have gone some because their parents sent them.
Mm-hmm, correct, yeah.
Others because maybe they had some sort of faith, but now they're questioning it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about those ones particularly who come who don't have faith and come to talk with you, or they're struggling with their faith.
Yes, I think a lot of them are, like, they're questioning and they're seeking answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of, you know, one woman who came to me, and it's like being with them, you know, and it's mm-hmm. like helping. It's allowing them to talk, and what is their experience. And I had a woman who came in who, you know, was claiming that, you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God at this time. But as I was kind of pulling from her, well, why do you believe this way? Instead of, like, some people want to take more of a defensive
yes.
and say, you know,
yes.
or want to defend the faith or say mm. you should believe in Christ. And I think there's a place for that, or there's a place to defend the faith. But sometimes in order to – you have to build the relationship with the person
right.
in order for them to gain, like, an openness to listen to you. And sometimes we feel like we have to take this big step to, I want you to meet Christ, I want you to know Christ, when maybe the Lord is just asking us to take this baby step to help them, maybe to get in touch with what is maybe the woundedness within inside themselves mm-hmm. that is preventing them from coming into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, or even knowing Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I see that a lot myself, where as a therapist, where people will come to me and maybe their parents have hit them with a heavy hand or pushed. And really what they're, just as you say, they're looking for someone to kind of gently walk beside them through mm. this process, mm-hmm. not push them, but walk beside them, or maybe even lead a little bit, but mm-hmm. not so forcefully, because that relationship of trust has to be established.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that your presence as well would ease a lot of fears and anxieties they might have about this initial conversation of
mm-hmm.
because you're so calm and peaceful, and I think that you really show that joy.
Mm-hmm.
I think those attributes are essential.
Yes, and I think sometimes we don't even realize just what our presence does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Francis talks about, he says, if you have to use words, use them, you know, but otherwise, preach, you know, with just being, with your being.
Uh-huh.
And I see that a lot in just traveling. And I, you know, traveling on planes, sometimes someone will stop by and they'll just tap me on the shoulder and say, oh, I'm glad you're here. You know, and it wasn't anything I did. It wasn't anything I said. It was just me being.
It's just your presence and mm-hmm. your habit. We know. In fact, just in January, I saw sisters. Were you down? Did you go to Florida?
I didn't.
So I saw Sister Mary Rose in the airport at Charlotte heading down to Florida with another sister.
Okay.
Now, I
yeah.
didn't get the chance to go over and talk with them, but I thought they were, the, you know, TOR sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like they were thinking, and I thought, you know, they probably don't want people coming up and poking and interfering with their peace and things as well. So I didn't go out of my way, but I felt that way. Just what you're saying is thank God they're here. Thank God that presence is here. And we know that there are sisters around the world who are bringing peace and bringing truth. It it takes a lot of anxiety out of this troubled world just to see that you're there.
That's very true.
You know, whether anyone speaks to you or not, they know you're there. And that presence speaks so profoundly. So I think that back to the topic is that I think a lot of times for parents with college students to know that their son or daughter needs to know that they're there, that they're a steady ship through all of life's turmoil, that they can always come back to that safe port, and they know what your values are.
Correct, yeah.
So the things that you see then, where do you, how do you approach then spiritual direction with the college students?
It really depends on where they're at. Some of them, I'm like starting maybe from the very beginning and just teaching them how to pray. You know, how do you develop a prayer life, you know? And it may be just starting them out with that, take 5-10 minutes a day, you know, because you don't want to start them off too much, because then if they get overwhelmed or it's frustrating or I'm always experiencing dryness, they're just going to drop it.
Right.
So it's kind of like you have to start them off small and kind of build them up. And I think that's like with anything. If you're learning an instrument, you're starting off small and you're building, you know, you can't pray play a Bach piece when you're just learning to play the flute, you know, so
exactly.
So it's like it's a process. And some women are more are further along. Some women, like I'm taking a couple women through the Ignatian exercises, which is like praying for a grace, praying, you know, praying with the scriptures and really being able to help them to enter into the scripture, to place themselves into the scripture. And what does that mean? And you're encountering Jesus, and what is he saying to you? And how are you responding to him? And what is stirring on the inside? And so helping them to listen internally, what's going on internally? You know, are you anxious? Are you fearful? Are you filled with joy or consolation, you know, or experiencing the Lord's love? Like to listen to those things, to journal about those things. And because the Lord speaks to you through that, but then he also speaks to you also throughout the day, you know. So really helping the students to understand that your prayer time isn't just this 30 minutes or this 40 minutes, but it's your prayer is your day. It's everything that you are doing. And how is God speaking to you in your studies? How is God speaking to you in your relationships? And what is he teaching you? What is the areas of conversion that he's bringing to you?
So I think it's just so wonderful that you're there to do that with them. Do you find that on the one hand, maybe they absorb so much of that and come to a place of peace, but yet as they're venturing out into the world after graduation, that now that's difficult to, are there anxieties about, oh, jobs, and is this the job? Is that, you know, kind of like what you had.
Yes.
And now what do I do? Because would you go with me, please, Sister Carrie Ann? Because I'm moving to New York City and now I need you with me to help me keep the peace. I mean, it's nice to have someone at that time. Do they call you back and things?
Well, I would say, I try to teach them about their prayer and what to do within their prayer to kind of become more independent, you know, and but also to encourage them to, you know, like the Lord is moving you on to this next stage in life and he's not going to leave you alone. You know, he's going to bring either maybe another spiritual guide some way or some, you know, into your life at that time. But I think it's important to prepare them that, you know, every place isn't like Franciscan University,
right?
You know, and in the world, it can be a lot harder. You're not going to find maybe faith communities that are very strong. And so I think it's really important to prepare them for that. And so how are you going to sustain your prayer life, your faith life, you know, away from Franciscan University, you know, wherever the Lord takes you with your job?
Yeah, I think there are so many blessings out there. There are good groups for young people. It's having the resourcefulness to find them, you know, young adult groups and things. So they can't get frustrated in that they haven't found that yet and maybe would look at that as this time, Christ is with me, just me, and learning to be independent alone. And maybe that's okay and not to have fear that while I'm searching, things will come, but Jesus is here.
Yes. Yeah. And it's really, a lot of times I'll have the students pray for that grace, like a deeper trust in the Father's care for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's foundational. If we trust in his care and his love for us, it's just a foundational grace within our life that will, you know, carry us and sustain us through those times that may be darker, you mm-hmm. know, through those mm-hmm. those trials or those sufferings that may come our way.
So. Yeah. Do you have particular things that you see on campus that, maybe with students that you might advise parents about? Are there particular issues or things you might have advice for parents to prepare their sons and daughters as they go to college to maybe navigate around minefields? Or what advice would you give parents as they send their students off to colleges? Not all colleges are as wonderful and as safe as Franciscan University.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very true. I think really their upbringing is so foundational. I think that's what carries you. I feel that when I went to college, and I went to a community college for my first 2 years mm-hmm. and then transferred to Ferrum College down in Ferrum, Virginia for my last 2 years. And that was a Methodist-based school. But I think I found that the faith that I grew up with is really what sustained me. I mean, that's what kept me, like, I went to church every Sunday, you know, because mm-hmm. that's what my parents had instilled in me. And I think parents can really have, maybe I would say not to worry so much or have so much anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I think, to have a faith in them and not a naive faith in them. I mean, because they're going to make mistakes, you know? And so I think prayer is very important, to be able to pray for them and to support them, but to really listen to them in their own struggles that they may, you know, that they may bring up or talk about their parents to their parents, but really be able to listen to, okay, what are they saying? What are they grappling with? And kind of speaking to that, you know, what is their struggle and helping to understand their struggle? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what's really going to, help them to continue to live out their faith and be like, oh, I feel supported, you mm-hmm. know, by my parents because they're listening to what I have to say. And I guess I stress listening so much.
Sure.
Because, well, I was trained in spiritual direction, so I do a lot of listening.
Sure.
But yeah. It does make such a difference when someone feels that they are listened to, mm-hmm. you know, and they feel that they are loved. I could see it in just the difference in with the friars when they talk to the students or the sisters on campus, and just when the students feel that they are listened to, there's a depth of feeling. There's a love that's there.
I think a lot of times they don't so much want to be told what to do by the time mm-hmm. they're that age. They want to be trusted and respected mm-hmm. in a sense. But like you say, really heard, understood, and maybe given guidance as opposed to a heavy hand on mm-hmm. things. And I find that they respond better with those things because therein is relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not so much a distance that's built, like you need to do this and you need to do that, but the openness to the relationship, which mm-hmm. how wonderful is it if students, young adults, have that relationship with their parents? Doesn't it seem that it more opens them to an understanding of a relationship with God?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. It really does. Because the parent is they're the father figure, you know, the father and the mother, and just that fathers just have such an important role in their child's life, you mm-hmm. know, they're a reflection of the Heavenly Father, you know. And so the views that they have of the Heavenly Father, they kind of look to their earthly father for. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, if it hasn't been a good relationship, then they view the Heavenly Father that way as well.
Yeah.
You know,
so true. And mother as well, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
the
yes.
Heavenly Mother, our blessed
yeah.
mother.
Yeah.
Yes. And the connection with their earthly mothers as mm-hmm. well. Sister, if Do you only see students from the University of Steubenville? Or if there was someone else who might be listening somewhere and thinking, I need to talk with that sister. How do I get her? Can someone call you?
Yes, we have a sister that works at the Mother House that's specifically over all of our ministries.
Okay.
So when we receive ministry calls, it goes directly to her. And then what she does is she asks around if sisters have any time available within
wonderful.
Their schedule
mm-hmm.
to do direction, spiritual direction.
Great. Mm-hmm. So they would find the phone number on franciscanstor.org. Sister Carrie Ann, thanks so much for being with us today. It's truly a pleasure. And thank you, our wonderful listeners of St. Gabriel Radio, for joining us. You can catch us on the Family Sanctuary Mondays at 12:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. Until next time, be blessed. Bye-bye.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni, Sancti.